Well, today, as you know, most of the fellers are at an encounter, and hopefully they'll bring back a great testimony of that and be on fire for the Lord, and they can be a great witness in this community. And Pastor Allen, he asked me if I would bring forth the message, and I said, yes, of course I will. And so I asked the Lord to give me something, and I believe he has. And hopefully we'll be able to glean a little bit of truth out of this here. I guess I'll bring my Bible up here because that's the most important thing. Got to have that. We'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 12 through 27. 26. 27. Before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this day, Lord. And we do thank you for our veterans, Lord, that are in service to this country, Lord. Lord, as they're away from their families, Lord, and they're serving our country to bring us freedom to where we might be able to stand before this congregation and bring forth your word, your word of life, Lord, that others may know you as their personal Savior. Just God, indirect, be with my thoughts. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, and help me to say that what you would have me to say, Lord. You gave me this message, Lord. I'm just a deliverer. I'm not as eloquent as Pastor Allen or anything like that. So I just pray, Lord, you just be with the thoughts and minds that are out there, Lord, that you can see, that they'll be able to see where I'm going and be able to present your word. Just guide and direct in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 27. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again to the head, nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, and that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it, and if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." The verse that I really wanted to put emphasis on is verse number 26, the first part. And it says, "As one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." And that's what I want to talk about during this past 6 to 8 weeks. As you all know, I've been suffering physically with first upper respiratory infection from whatever cause, and then through this bout of gout that I'm suffering through. And the Lord, he spoke to me during this bout of gout. And he gave me the, or showed me how it related to our Christian family also. And so the title that I chose for this here is The Suffering of One Member. You know, we don't really think about it, but when one member suffers, we all suffer. And you know, and this bout of gout has really brought this to my mind. You know, the gout started with one part of my body, the elbow. Who needs an elbow, right? Well, you know, that one little elbow is very important. If nothing else, it helps take care of personal, private things. Without it, you can't hardly take care of yourself. And you know, and you use it to help you get up. You use it to help you sit down. You use it in many, many fashions. But yet, we just take it for granted. It's just a part of our body. It's just a piece of our body that we don't really even understand. You know, we know about it when we hit our elbow and hit what we call the funny bone. It brings an intense pain all at one time. Well, having this here bout of gout that I have right now, it hurts all the time. It hurts to move it. It hurts to turn your hand. It hurts to do whatever you need to get it to a position where you need to use it. It hurts when you sit down. It hurts when you get up. It just hurts. I've never had gout before. This is something that is new to me, and I guess I'm sharing my experience with gout with you in an intimate way. And but more than sharing gout, I'm trying to relate how this can affect the body of Christ, how this can affect our congregation, how this can affect our service to the Lord. You know, what can cause the suffering? You know, in my case, it's gout going on right now. And it started with my elbow. And then because my elbow wasn't working right, I was having to use, and it's all on the right side. I'm predominantly right-handed. And everything that happens, I use my right hand twice as much as I do my left. And so everything that happens is on the right hand side, because I'm predominantly right handed, very predominantly right handed. And so after the elbow was hurting, and so I was overcompensating with my hands, and pretty soon this joint in my fingers, especially these two joints right here, my index and my one next to it, started being inflamed, started to hurt. And so, you know, it's one of those things. Now what do you do? You know, and you keep overcompensating for it. You know, you use your hands and your elbow to sit down. You use your hands and your elbows to get up. You use your hands and elbows to do other things, which I'm not gonna mention. Amen. You got to have those things to have a life. And you know, so how does this here relate to the body of Christ? You know, we can come to many different things that can affect a member. One of the things is sickness. One of the things is pride. One of the things is jealousy. You know, we can get a preconceived notion that we are better than someone. We can get a preconceived notion that we can do all things without God's help. We can get a preconceived notion that we don't need the rest of the congregation to take care of this. But in reality, we need everyone. We need everyone to do their part. We need everyone to be a part of the body. You know, part of the pride can say, "Well, I'm not the pastor. I don't need to do it." And so we get this, well, Pastor Allen, he can do it. He can take care of the church. He can do all the visiting. He can visit the hospital. He can do this. He can do that. And you know, Pastor Allen does do all that. But he needs help. He needs the rest of the body to kick in. He needs the rest of the body to step up. And whether it's a preconceived notion that we're not good enough, you know, that's not the case. God says that even the smallest member is important. You know, what do you suppose is probably the most important member while I'm up here speaking? Some might say the brain. What do you say? What do you think is the most important? Is what?
All of us.
Is what?
All of us.
All of us. All of us. That's a good answer. You're all very important. But while I'm up here speaking, what do you think is probably the most important member of my body?
Brain.
The brain? That's a good answer. Very good answer.
The ear.
The ear? Another good answer. You know, so I can hear you guys. You know, if you think about it, though, probably the most important member that I have while I'm up here standing, teaching, preaching, is probably my big toe. Because without your big toe, you can't stand correctly. You can't stand upright. You can't stand straight. You've got to have that big toe on your foot. Now, who would have thought that, right? Who would have thought that the big toe is the greatest member up here? Somebody said the brain, somebody, you know, the hearing, the tongue. And all those are good, are wonderful parts. But in order for me to stand up here, I have to have my big toe. And how do I know this? Because after the gout affected my elbow, my hand, it went to my foot. And it affected my ankle. And then from the ankle, it went to the big toe. You ever try standing up without a big toe? It's pretty tough. You know, you're in a lot of pain. You know, that big toe doesn't want any pressure put on it. And so you're hobbling around. And I know this because I had to do this. This is actually the first day that I probably stood this long in 4 or 5 days. You know, before I've had laying on my back, had my foot propped up, and not doing anything. And that goes on to another point that I wanted to bring out is when you're not bringing forth what you think you ought to be bringing forth, it can lead to depression. And I went through that for this short little time. You know, I didn't feel good about myself. I wasn't able to do the things that I used to do. I wasn't hardly even able to take care of myself. And if it wasn't for my wife picking up the slack, I don't know where I'd have been. I'd have probably had been in the hospital, probably, because it was just mission impossible. But because of that, of another member taking care of this member, and that's what we are supposed to do. That's one of the things that we as members need to do, is to help one another, to be there for them, to be a helpmeet to them. Not necessarily a husband and wife, but a helpmeet, someone that is helping others. You know, I know Alan, again, he does a wonderful job of that. He helps a lot of people. And I'm going to be honest with you, he's overworked. You know, he works almost a full-time job outside of pastorship, and he works a full-time pastorate. You know, he is doing the job of two men easily. You know, and I'm just saying that we as members, other members, need to start pulling our own weight. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about is, well, what if I can't get up here and stand before the congregation? What am I going to do? You know, Pastor Allen asked me to fill in. And I got to thinking, you know, to myself, I said, you know what? If I've got to crawl up here, I'm going to do it. Because he asked me to fill in. He asked me to bring forth the bread of life. And you know, I'm not an eloquent speaker like he is. I'm just telling you what the Lord gave me during this bout. I'm telling you what the Lord has showed me. You know, He wants every member. He wants every member out there. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what position you're in. It doesn't matter who you think you are. He wants us all. He wants us all to be willing vessels, willing servants to Him, for Him. And you know, people sometimes, well, since I'm not the preacher, I'm not important. Or since I'm not Sunday school teacher, I'm not important. Since I'm not the song leader, I'm not important. Since I'm not the choir director, I'm not. Since I'm not a pianist or organ player, I'm not important. But I want you to know, you all are important. You are all very important. You know, the Bible says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God knit you the way he wants you. He knit you in your mother's womb. He made you who you are. He made you what you are. And He went, you know, saying you are very important. You are so important that He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Do we actually realize that? Do we actually realize how important we are to Him? I think sometimes, some days we don't realize. I think some days we don't realize how important we are. And so, you know, this any member, one member can start not doing his or her part. You know, what can cause that? What are some of the things that can cause that? Some of the things I wrote down are pride, jealousy, sickness, injury, diseases, just out and out tiredness, burned out. You're injured or hurt. And I'm sure there's many others. I'm sure there's many other reasons why one member quits working right, or quits working not only in your body, but also for the Lord. But when one member quits working or doesn't work what it's supposed to do, then another member of that body has to pick up the slack. Just as, you know, when my elbow started hurting, my finger, I had to use more of my hand muscles, and so then it started hurting. And then my ankle, because I was having to use my ankle more. And then my foot started hurting. My big toe started hurting. You know, these are all examples of what happens when one member in the body stops doing what it's supposed to be doing. It starts pulling away from the body. It starts going away to doing what it wants to do. In verse 26, it says, "And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it." You know, and we should. If we're not suffering together, there's something wrong. If we don't feel for one of our members when they're going through sickness, when they're going through pain, when they're going through a loss of a loved one, whatever the case may be, if we're not feeling for that person, then we need to evaluate ourselves. We need to go to that verse, "Search me, O God, and know my thoughts." Why am I not hurting along with that person? Why am I not suffering with that person? Why am I not sharing part of the burden of that person? You know, it's been quite an ordeal. You know what I've been going through, the things that I've had, that I've been learning, and the things that I've been having to go through to compensate for this here. And so, you know, we all have periods where we don't feel like serving the Lord. We all have feelings of that. We all have thoughts of that. I don't feel like coming to church today. Am I the only one that has, that's had that, had that feelings? If you don't shake your head, then I know you're lying. You know, we all go through those periods. Well, I'm not really needed at church today. I think I'll just stay home. What do we, there's a word that we used to call when I was going to school. Oh, it was called hooky playing. Has anybody ever played hooky? Oh, yeah. We got some honest people out there. Finally. You know, and sometimes we do. Sometimes we just don't feel like going and doing whatever we need to do. You know, have I played hooky? Yes, I have. Should I be proud of it? No, I shouldn't. But that's part of nature. Have I played hooky at school? Yes. Have I played hooky at work? Yes. Have I played hooky for church? Yes. You know, those are all part of what's going on in our life. And that's one of those things where we need to ask God to search us and to know our thoughts and to help us to do what is right. You know, one of the things that occurred when I was going through this here, I was always tired, but I couldn't sleep. I was always tired. You know, I was always exhausted. I mean, it was just a struggle just to even to get up in the morning. You know, you'd fight yourself to sleep. You couldn't find a position that was comfortable. You know, 20 pillows couldn't make it comfortable. I mean, you know, just one of those things where it took forever to fall asleep. But then when you fell asleep, you didn't want to get up because it was starting to feel good by being rested. And so you'd force yourself to get up, and then you'd go through this process, and then you was tired because, you know, to get up, take a shower, and do all the necessities of life, and then you was exhausted. I was exhausted. You know, Deborah knows that I don't sleep much. But during this time, I was wanting to sleep all the time. You know, it was a time, but you couldn't sleep because of the pain. So what do? You fight, you fidget, you twist, you turn. I don't see how that poor woman ever got a lick of sleep other than that she could sleep through a tornado. I'm just telling you. That woman can sleep. I think she can sleep in any position. I think that you could put her on her head and she'd be able to sleep. I think that she would be able to sleep. But because of all this, you know, during this time, I had to rely upon my wife a lot. Some of it is pretty embarrassing, and I'm not going to share that with public. You can just use your imagination. But if it wasn't for another member taking care of this member would have probably had to go to the hospital. And that's the same way with us. If we don't start taking care of one another the way a spouse takes care of another spouse, then we're going to, you know, we could be in pretty bad shape. You know, like I said before, a little bit of depression, you know, crept in during this time. I felt pretty worthless. And really, like I said, didn't want to really do a whole lot. But yet, I needed to. I had to do some things. For one thing, I had to study for this sermon, this lesson. And you know, it's mainly God. I'll be honest with you, it's God, because I'm not an eloquent speaker. And I know that. But God has given me the words to say. He's taken care of this little member. And, you know, as this one member starts to get better, you know, then others will have to do less. for this member. You know, but as we, you know, are during this time, you know, what are the things that we can do to help a member that's not feeling well, a member that's not doing well? You know, one of the things we can do is pray for that individual, to pray for that member. Pray diligently, because that member is going through a lot. Whether we want to admit it or not, that person is going through a lot for itself, for himself, herself. Whether it's a loss of a loved one, physically, mentally, spiritually, that person is going through a lot. Be willing to step in and release some of the pressure. You know, one of the things that I worry about with Pastor Allen is him getting burned out. I'll be honest with you. He burns the candle on both ends, and I think sometimes in the middle too. And that's one of the things that I worry about, is him burning out. And number three, I entitle it Giving Tender Loving Care. And what is tender loving care? You know, we've heard all this. You know, and I think it varies for each individual member. You know, it could be food, clothing, giving them a bath, taking care of their personal needs. Whatever it takes to get them back on their feet, that's what we should do. You know, as I said before, another thing that can harm the body of Christ is hooky playing. It can add extra burden to other members because you want to play. And I'm going to just say it bluntly, because you want to do what you want to do when you want to do it. It causes extra burdens on other people, on other members, and it causes others to fill in for you. It wears them down physically, mentally, spiritually. And the thing that I want to bring out, when and if you ever do that, is think about what Christ really did for you, how he died on the cross for your sin. And he said to search us. He said, search my thoughts and know my evil ways, my wicked ways. You know, we are to do that. We are to search ourselves to see what our motives are that are doing this. Why we are not serving the Lord. Why we are not doing what he wants us to do. Why we are not going about our Father's business. Because like it or not, he is our Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And he has a business for us. Just as he had a business for Christ himself. And Christ himself said, I go about my Father's business. We need to have that same attitude. We need to have an attitude that we are going to serve God no matter what. No matter if we feel like it. No matter if we have a bad day. He wants us to come to him boldly. To ask for forgiveness of our sins. To be led by him. To be guided by him. During this time, you know, I know that God was speaking to me, you know, why there is suffering, why there is pain, why there's so many, just, you know, why one member can hurt the whole body. And I want each and every one of you to ask yourself, are you doing what you should do? You may not feel worthy, but you are worthy. You may not feel needed, but you are needed. You may not feel wanted, but you are wanted. You know, we are all God's creatures. We are all God's people. And as such, we need to bring God glory. To let him speak through us. To let him use us. To let him be guided by, let us be guided by him. Let's close with a word of prayer and